Hallelujah. Okay. Let me share briefly. Those of you outside, please come in and take your seats. Praise God. You know why I'm insisting they should sit down? It's because sometimes we talk here and our reactions sometimes do not reflect what we say here. But we are comforted by the testimonies that we hear from people who are watching us online. It's true. They seem to be more serious than many of us here. That's why I insist that everybody should hear us. Hear us. And when I spoke last week about the office of the apostle, of course I was ready for reaction from everywhere. But whatever is their reaction, they have no scriptural base for anything. No scriptural base for anything. And the whole thing has stumbled them so much because it has distorted their expectation concerning this particular ministry. What I spoke last week distorted their expectation concerning this ministry. What is their expectation? They are waiting for me to rise and make a claim. That is all they have been waiting for. They are waiting for me to say, because I go all over the world and the churches are raising up here and here within Nigeria, outside Nigeria, and I have the largest church as per population, as far as the entire message is concerned, around. And therefore, they are waiting for me to now make a declaration that I am the mighty one after William Branham. So all of them, we are looking at me, they are waiting. They want Ashomolu. They said, we are watching him. I know what they mean by that. They are waiting for me to make a claim. Church, listen. Amen. God's program can never be distorted. God's program can never be distorted. I repeat, I spoke to somebody yesterday, and I believe you are listening to me now in Kaduna. I saw your text. There are scriptures that you quoted that showed as if Barnabas and Timothy were apostles as reference was made to them there. And therefore, why should I say there are no apostles now? I'm happy after I spoke with you, Cornelius, I think that's your name. You caught it. Listen, church. And I'm happy those of you who have blogs and chat something in your social something. Some of you. I think somebody, my wife was making reference to me today about somebody from Zambia or Zimbabwe or somewhere like that who is disagreeing with me. And so many other people were firing him that I was right. Okay. Praise God. Now listen, the problem with us Gentiles, listen very well. The problem with us Gentiles is that we are generally idolaters. Before the gospel came to us, we are idol worshippers. Anything. If a farmer goes to a farm and discovers something supernatural has happened, he does not understand about this tree, that tree will become a god. It will become a thing of worship. Anybody with any supernatural thing around him or her, the Gentile man or woman will worship that thing.
generally. And this is the reason why God sent the children of Israel to clear the Canaanites and possess the land. Because of all their idolatrous tendencies, there was contention when the gospel came to the Gentiles. As the light, grace was now moving to Gentiles. If you read the book of Acts, and then a lot of contention, people did not understand. Some disciples, some believers still believe that before even the Gentile can be, since they are also manifesting the same spirit as we receive, we the Jews in the upper room, that means they can be baptized like we baptize, but they should also be circumcised. And Apostle Paul and the rest, they were trying to tell these Jews that went there that it should not be like that. They were explaining grace. Grace has gone beyond physical circumcision. Imagine how difficult a ministry those apostles had to convince the Jews that we are no more in the law of Moses. We are now in another covenant. It is easier for you now because it's in the scripture. It was not written anywhere. The most difficult aspect of every building you want to put up is the foundation. It's the foundation. Imagine what those Jews went through. Then they decided, look, okay, see, where we went, Gentiles are believing. So they sent message to them. So what do we tell them? This is not this statement that James, one of the apostles, said in Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15. Hallelujah. Concerning the matter, this is what James wrote to the Gentiles. Just the whole chapter, you can read it, but just for emphasis, from verse 18, he said, "Not unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is," that is my judgment concerning their argument about what the Gentiles that now believe, that have received the Holy Ghost like us. This is my sentence, that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from what? Pollutions of what? Idols. That was the first problem they have. Don't put unnecessary law on them. Just tell them, number one, let them abstain from the pollutions of idols, because that is who we are, idol worshippers. So now, watch it. When it comes to the church, the same thing. I was just sharing with my wife. I said, when we come back here in January, I am going to take a teaching in the book of Revelation, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. There's something you need to know. Because first and foremost, that chapter 1, verse 1 starts by saying the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, not many of us know who Jesus is. Not many of us know who truly he is. Now, you will discover that we all agree that Jesus is Lord God Almighty among us. He came in the flesh. But watch it. Although he is God, Emmanuel, God with us, but he kept pointing to the Father. Do you understand? He kept pointing to the Father. The reason is so that your picture of the Creator will not be limited like a human being somewhere. There is a greater God that just came down a little to manifest himself for a purpose and appeared in his Son And the son, because of the mighty things that were going to take place around him, he is telling you, although I am God, but when you want to picture God, you cannot snap him, oh, you cannot draw him, oh, he cannot get nose like you, he not get height like you, he not get your kind color, he not get belly like you. He is greater than this. He said, my father is greater than I. And yet he said, why are you asking me to show you the father again? If you see me, you have seen the father. Hey, so you need to know who he is. It is to stop you from being an idol worshiper. Because God is not a human being, he's a spirit. So you don't begin to look at a human being and worship a human being. He's a spirit. And them that will worship him, the true worshipper, they will worship him where? In spirit. Not in the flesh. Unless you understand that, when God is talking to you, you will never know it. I'm saying this with all passion because the devil has tried to mess up this glorious entire message. The message of restoration to bring us back to that original foundation. So, here we are. It is that same tendency that makes us to look at where, since Jesus is no more in the flesh, so anybody that has something small that we don't have, then we want to make him something. Because we are always looking for leadership. We are looking for somebody to follow. We are looking for a man to follow. We are always looking for somebody like that to follow. So you look all around, and then the devil has carnal people that he will use to achieve that. Then he raises people who will look at, among all the five four ministries, which one is the highest. And then before you know what, because he has known something that many people don't know. Now, the apostle, what you saw them doing in the New Testament, the apostles, they were setting things in order. Therefore, somebody will come and say, he is in the ministry of setting things in order. He goes from church to church and sets things in order. But unknown to them, Apostle Paul did not go to the church of Peter to set it in order. There were churches that he himself established, that he was going to set them in order. And they were going to be a pattern upon which all the other followers in the upcoming ages will follow. Because he didn't say, I am the apostle to the Corinthians. I'm the apostle to the Philippians. He said, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. Because this is the Gentile dispensation. And he said his ministry is a dispensational ministry. Ephesians chapter 3, he says so. It's a dispensation. And this is the dispensation, hallelujah, that Apostle Paul was handed over to set in order. So he established whatever foundation that we are building on today. And any other person that worked with him, including Titus, including Timothy, they were all under the apostleship of Paul. They were all under the apostleship of Paul. It was still part of setting things in order. He sent Timothy that he should go and set in order the things that are wanting. And he was sending him to the Ephesian church. He said, ordain the elders. He told Timothy, and this should be the qualification. And Timothy was going in the instruction of Apostle Paul. So it was the apostolic ministry in action. It was the foundation laying. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All the apostles for the foundation laying, we are called personally by Christ himself. And it is for a purpose. To lay the foundation. But now, Because we are looking for followership. Who shall we idolize? Then, because God cannot leave his church without a leader. And that statement is true, but it can be hijacked by carnal people. God does not leave his church without a leader, but the leadership of the church is in the hand of the Holy Ghost. Not man. For he is the one that gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So he is the one. And don't help God. Don't you ever think there is a void anywhere to be filled. God has his leaders. At the appointed time, he places them. Now the truth is this. It is a misplacement of offices. The truth is that. Lord, watch all of them that claim to be apostles. Richard Gann is an apostle. Raymond Jackson is an apostle. Who again? Omar Borewo is an apostle. Who again? No, I don't mean these dead people. I'm talking about those who saw the message. Hallelujah. I'm not talking of people like Suleiman. They are dead. They are dead now. They are dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are dead now. They have left the Bible. And if you leave the Bible, what else is left? You are dead. Life is only in his word. Praise the Lord. People who faint, it's their members that faint. Their members can be resurrected when they see one your pastor. But for them, completely dead. And they go further and further and further and further and further. So stop calling those names here. I'm talking about those who are close. They had a shout. They came out. And they see confusion among them. The truth is this. Those, I have listened to Richard Gann. I have, in fact, Raymond Jackson, the Lord revealed him personally to me when I was in great confusion in the enter message in 1995. He said, follow the teachings of this man and you will hit the revival you are looking for. I will never forget that day. It was in the night. And I followed that teaching and all the confusion I had in the enter message, he was the one that God used to settle it. And in that revelation, he gave me a sign. I didn't know it was a sign, so that we know that he's the one talking. He gave me a sign. And when that sign was taking place, because I told my wife the revelation, and when that sign was taking place in my house, I rushed to the kitchen where my wife was. I said, you remember that revelation? I said, come and see it be fulfilled now. It was fulfilling. And she shook her head. I said, it is not about that sign. It was God trying to let me know that what he told me is the truth. And I followed that man's teachings. And many other Nigerians and Africans and all over the world, they follow his teachings. That's why in our website, we have put a link where you can go straight to their website. He died in 2004. But the messages are on the net. And now, because of the way he has brought us so many things from the scripture, now people begin to call him apostle. Now, and right back then, not because I saw this revelation I'm teaching now, but I refuse. Pastor Enoch Onyeboha in Port Harcourt. I'm calling names because they are hearing me. Listen, because he wrote in a book and told me, because it's also through him, I saw the ministry of Raymond Jackson. And then he called him chief apostle. And I said, why do you call this man chief apostle? He said, but that is who he is. I say, is it a scripture or you are the one making him a chief apostle? And he got angry. That was the beginning of my fight with him. And he wrote in another book. He said, this one claimed to be a pastor and he cannot even identify a simple thing as the office of an apostle. And finish me there. Abuse me, tire. Praise the Lord. But I do not just do follow. I do not do follow. And then, I went to one who said, Apostle Vincent, who said he's an apostle. He used to come to Lagos. He would stay in my house, in my former church. And then, when he comes like this, God has arrived. So, we are looking for fruit of the womb. Now, so me and my wife, we travel to his town in Kogi State. So that this mighty apostle that goes from church to church to set things in order, let's go to his base. When we went there, in his church, plus we, the visitors that came, accounted us, we were 15 in number. We were 15. He was using one shop like that. I said, now this man, they go from church to church, they set church in order. From which pattern? When I came back, I went to my pastor. I said, pastor, that man, no be apostle. No be apostle. I think he told the man that this is what I said. The man cut off from me. Lie. It didn't have anything to do with me again. And I still repeat, you are not an apostle. Because if you are going to set things in order, that was my revelation at that time. If you are, and I was not a pastor, I was an ordinary church member. I said, if you are going to set the things in order in other churches, there must be a pattern that you have set for yourself. In your village, nobody knows you. And you are running from town to town and gathering churches. And then say you are apostle. It is wrong. Secondly, apostles have sign. What is the sign you have that is following your apostleship? No single sign. Richard Gang in Singapore. His whole church, not reach our powerhouse where our children are using now. In Singapore. But all over the world, he is known. He goes from everywhere, from town to town, everywhere. He is known. He said, he's an apostle. Now listen, church. Listen. Oh, praise the Lord. I know many of you will not like what I'm saying. I will say it hard. All that nonsense must stop. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's a misplacement of office. There are teachers. Raymond Jackson is a teacher. That lawyer in a Mobodowo is a teacher. Ishomolu, who again? All of them. Because everyone in the entire message that you see that makes claim, it is because there is a depth of understanding that he has that the people around him don't have. Therefore, pastors invite them to come and teach. You see, pastors invite them to come and teach. Unfortunately, people like Richard Gang, people like Apostle John Amos Omoborewo, somebody like that, unfortunately for them, watch all that they criticize me. None of them has criticized my doctrine. They may criticize the anointing, but when it comes to the teachings in the scripture, none of them. Do you know why? And that is why among all the churches, this is the one they hate the most. Because the truth is, there is nothing they know that God has not revealed to us preachers, those of us preaching in this church. We are on the same platform. Where they get their information, now there they get them too. So you search, you cannot get anything, no fault, nothing. Because God established me from prison. He let me know what is salvation. And not just that. He took me inside the prison and converted me first. I did not start ministry before he converted me. He made sure I was converted before he brought me into this ministry. So let them search for me. They will never see anything they can use against me. As far as the scripture is concerned. Even if they don't clap for me, Thomas, clap for me. Thank you. 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 Amen. Many of them, they are, and in the entire message, In the entire message, I have not seen evangelists of the fivefold ministry. Up to now, I'm waiting to see one. Evangelist does not operate within the church. Evangelist does not run from church to church. Evangelist goes to darkness. And I was telling my wife, I said in the end time message, we have only prophet, apostle, and pastor. I say, we don't have teachers, we don't have evangelists. I say, they can't try evangelism now. Carry evangel, go serve evangelists and go to Ogboni stronghold. When all of them is only English, and Brother Abraham say they have. Go now, whether you come back alive. That's why nobody goes that way. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But it's okay. Evangelists are category by category. We have the lower category in this church. First us is among them. They will grow to that level very soon. Don't worry. All of us are growing. So Pastor Moses, what are you saying? Who are you claiming to be? I am a pastor of the fivefold ministry. If you attribute any other thing, you are Antichrist. Praise the Lord. Am I not pastoring you people? So which other office are you saying I am? Amen. Amen. And so I'm happy that everybody, they are hearing and they are adjusting. Apostle, change that title to a teacher. You are not an apostle. Hallelujah. You are either a teacher or you are an evangelist. And please, evangelist does not go from church to church. He doesn't go to preach to believers. He goes to unbelievers to bring them in. So don't visit me and say you're evangelist this. You have something for the church. I will bind you and cast you out of Lagos. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so it excites me when I have a testimony like this. From Chibuzo, Isaiah, you are from Webster, Texas in USA. And I came across this, I think, yesterday. Let me read that testimony. He said, may God richly bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. He says, the joy I feel in my heart after coming across the Bride Assembly broadcast and the multiple sound messages stored online in the database cannot be overemphasized. I simply don't know how to express this gratitude to God Almighty for such a move in a time like this when it's most needed. I am most excited. I have known the entire message for over a decade, but it didn't produce any change in me. I entertained all manner of sin of the highest order. I earnestly sought for repentance, but each time I did, I fell again within a few days. The entire message church I was attending was more like what I will call a dead church, because there was nothing they had to say, they have to say, to really convict me more or encourage me. The pastor wasn't divinely inspired and taught strange things like a child dedication must be done on the 8th day after birth, and the parent must bring something that is alive in exchange. He must give you what to teach if you will come close to the pulpit, and also claims to be the head of the church. Night vigils are maybe once or twice in a year and last for about 4 hours. And he doesn't accept questions, etc. Every effort to correct him amounted to nothing. This was the better church when compared to others within the town, because we had moved from one to another in search of the world. So my Christian walk became such a big struggle with my passions that I realized that I could not win unless God himself did something. Once in my life, I answered an altar call when the voice of God recording came to Uyo And I had an experience I cannot explain. I found myself crying at the pulpit. And crying is one thing that's not familiar to me. I thought my heart was stony because I don't understand it when people cry at the altar. This time, I was crying profusely and asking God to do with me whatever He will. After that experience, I felt a type of peace and inner joy that can be best explained by feeling it yourself. I lost every desire for women or sin entirely. A day or two later, something that hadn't happened in my life before happened. I was sitting down alone when I heard a voice speak to me, the sweetest voice on earth. It felt so good that I jumped up for joy. But days later, I lost the fire. The flame quenched, and I was back to the old me. It was sad, but I felt powerless. My sinful desires tripled. I was back in sin, way more than I used to. No matter how much I prayed, I fasted several times, but the effect never outlived the day. I knew God would do something. I've always known because I believe He will make a way for me. So one day, my uncle told me about a certain Pastor Moses Alu that I can connect online. I'd never seen a ministry on fire for God like this with pure sound doctrine. Now my family back in Nigeria is shouting for joy because I made sure that they bought my TV decoder from the money I sent to them. I can feel God working in me. My wife has been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ through watching the Bright TV. Amen. Amen. The other day, you came to me in a dream and pointed at a woman close to me and said, "This is the demon." I believe it was God that spotted out that demon using your face. I can see myself back on track again. And this time there's no going back. Amen. I wish that voice can speak to me again. I need the Holy Spirit so much. I want to serve God wholly with everything I am. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Although immorality and nakedness is high here in America, but there's no going back again for me. I need your prayers and guidance because although we may be far away, but I and my wife are unmovable parts of Bride Assembly Church and you are our pastor. May God Almighty bless you and all that are helping you in the ministry. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Chibozo Asioya and he gave his phone number. And he's from Webster, Texas, the United States of America. Hallelujah.